Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
I am Father Cedric Pazenia, the host of Live with Passion. I welcome you to the program. My great call as a Catholic priest is to help people receive the Holy Spirit. That's why whenever I preach a parish mission, which we're about to go to in Orlando, Florida, I always conclude with a Mass of the Holy Spirit, because I want people to receive the Holy Spirit. It says in the Acts of the Apostles that when Peter was preaching, the Spirit fell upon the listeners. And I pray that as you watch this program, the Holy Spirit will fall upon you. Let's go to the live preaching. On the last and greatest day of a Jewish festival, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within the person who believes in me." He said this in reference to the Holy Spirit that those who came to believe in him were to receive. The Gospel of the Lord. I grew up Catholic and I was baptized as an infant, and I was going to be confirmed in the eighth grade. And I remember our confirmation ceremony, and right before that, of course, they teach you about the Holy Spirit, and they show you these tongues of fire over the apostles' heads. And they said, you know, during your confirmation ceremony, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will come down in power, and you will be filled with the fire. So I thought to myself, I'm in eighth grade. I'm thinking, you know, good, because I haven't felt anything yet, and I want to feel this. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe I ought to wear an asbestos suit or something to the ceremony, because the fire is going to fall. So the place where I grew up, a little town, actually a suburb of Agawam, it was called Feeding Hills. And I went to Sacred Heart Church there in Feeding Hills. Probably about 30 of us eighth graders were about to be confirmed. And we had the altar rail back then, and here comes the Bishop of Springfield, Mass. He's all dressed in red. He has a big red mitre. And, you know, he's going to do the confirmation ceremony. So we're all kneeling there, and here's all these little eighth graders, boys and girls, and I'm among them. And we're all praying for the Holy Spirit. So at that time, this is the way the bishop did the ceremony. He would come and give you a slap in the face. So I guess that meant that you were a mature Christian adult or something like that. So he comes to me, and he gives me a slap in the face. And then he moves on to the next person, and I went like this. I looked at the person next to me, and they didn't look like they had felt anything either. I felt a slap in the face, and that was it. And I go, wait a minute, what's going on here? They told me I was going to receive the Holy Spirit, that there was going to be this big power, this fire, and I don't feel anything. I thought this, either one, there's something wrong with me, I'm a misfit or something spiritually, or number two, maybe there's no God. And that's why I think a lot of our teenagers fall away from the church. They either think something's wrong with them, or maybe there's no God, you know, because we were just born into Catholicism. And I began to watch people like Billy Graham on TV, and saw the movie Jesus of Nazareth on TV, made a big impact on me. And I started searching for God. I remember reading the Bible, "Ask and you shall receive, knock and the door will be opened, seek and you will find." And so I began searching and praying, believing, thirsting, as Jesus said in the gospel. "Anyone who thirsts, come to me and drink, and out of your heart will flow rivers of living water." And I wanted that. I wanted to know God, if he was real and true. I really wanted to know. Well, one night, about 3 months after I started searching, I had what I hoped I would get at my confirmation. And, you know, there's many words to describe this in the Bible. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, or they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Remember what John the Baptist said? He said, "I baptize you with water, but one is coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So think about what baptism is, full immersion, where you're dunked into the water and you come out sopping wet. And that's what baptism in the Spirit is. You are immersed in God. We are in Christ, the Bible says. So there's all kinds of different words, filled, baptized. I like the word a release of the Spirit. And I go like this because Jesus said in the gospel, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. So I want you to picture something. It's not so much that the Spirit comes down as the Spirit is already present, because the Spirit of God fills the entire earth, and you already have the Spirit. This is something I discovered. The Spirit was already there. The Holy Spirit was already in me. I just didn't know it. And I had to have a discovery, a new consciousness, a release of the Holy Spirit. So all of you, and all of you watching by TV, you have the Spirit within you. I'm going to try to help you to receive the Spirit and to have a new release of the Spirit within you, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can be filled over and over and over again. Well, needless to say, this changed my life. I was revolutionized by the presence of God in me, this glorious foretaste of what is to come in heaven, this assurance of salvation. It's called the down payment of what is to come, the foretaste. And that's how you can know that you're saved, because you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Gospel of John tells us, that eternal life is now. That eternal life begins with your life with God, and even death can't take it away. It just continues after death. So my life was revolutionized, and I began to, what I call, have a personal relationship with God. God was no longer distant, and I hope that God exists out there somewhere, but rather God was present to me, and it was intimate and real and personal and deep. And I was never a very spiritual person. I went from being a misfit to a mystic, if that makes any sense. There was something very real going on and powerful. So the number one reason why the Holy Spirit comes, and I'll share some more here in a minute, but I want you to get that the number one reason is so that you can have something personal with God. And again, the Spirit is in all of us. The Spirit is in all of you watching on TV. It's just a matter of having an awakening and a filling and a release of this glorious Holy Spirit. So I began to have a new prayer life. The Scriptures came alive. And things started happening in my life. And this is where I want to go with the rest of my talk. What started to happen to me is what Joel proclaimed in the first reading. Your young people will have visions, and your older people will dream dreams. I was studying business. I was in college. My dream, my vision, was just to make a lot of money. I was studying business, thinking that, you know, the American dream, you go through college, you get a job, you make some money, you have a family, and that's the American dream. So that was kind of my dream. But other than that, I really didn't have any motivation. But when the Spirit came, all of a sudden, I had a new dream and a new vision. And I always tell people, you're never too old to dream a dream, and you're never too young to have a vision. And my dream was this, that since I encountered God's love, and I encountered God in a real way, I suddenly began to have the desire to want to tell people about this, to want to preach. Now, this is something new for me, because remember, I had fallen away from the church. I was never even an altar boy growing up, and all of a sudden, now I want to preach? So this is something that I never, ever thought I would want to even ever do. And you have to understand something about me, too. You've been with me for 3 days now. Very insecure, very struggle with self-image and self-esteem. I had panic attacks in front of people. It's like, I want to preach, but I'm scared. So I don't know if this is God or this is me or what it is. But anyway, so I start being led by the Holy Spirit. Remember how we began Lent? Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the desert. And so I've discovered that the Spirit can actually help you and drive you and lead you and guide you in your life. You don't have to just go on your own thoughts, your own feelings, that actually the Spirit of God will actually drive you and lead you and guide you. So I began to be led, and I discerned a call to priesthood, a call to religious life, and I said yes to that. The Spirit was leading me even further, and I trusted that this dream of preaching was God's will for my life, even though, again, never trained in speaking. I didn't do all that well. We had that speaking class in high school, didn't really do, I think I got a C minus in it, because, you know, I just wasn't really motivated about anything. So anyway, I end up at a place called the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. This is our seminary in Chicago, where you're trained theologically and trained in preaching. And so here I was with my little dream to preach and to proclaim to people all about the Holy Spirit, about God and personal relationship with God, being saved. And so I end up at this place. Well, little did I know, but it was a very high-powered theology seminary. People there had written many books. They were published. They were sought-after speakers. They had all these initials after their name. That's how you can tell people are important. They have a lot of initials after their name. And there were canon lawyers. There were liturgists. There were ethicists. There was formation directors, scripture scholars. In fact, one of the scripture scholars, one of our teachers, edited the New American Catholic Bible. He had his name right on the front of the Bible. That's very popular. Maybe some of you have it. The New American Bible, and he has his name right on the front. I was always under the impression that God wrote the Bible. Now I'm discovering that these are the type of people that we had at our seminary. So here comes me with my little old dream and vision that I'm going to be a priest and preach the gospel the best I can. And I really believe to a lot of people. So I get there to the seminary, and little did I know that once a semester, the seminarians would preach. I knew that one day I would preach, but I didn't know it was going to be right away. And guess who you preach in front of? All the scripture scholars and the ethicists and the theologians and the canon lawyers and your peers. And so it was a small chapel with about 100 people in the round, and very up close. The front pew here would have been about the middle of the whole thing. And I remember, you know, you don't get to pick your scriptures when you preach. And so now here's one of my first times to get up there in front of all these people. And, you know, you want to impress them and make them think that you're going to be great and all that kind of a thing. But remember, I have a lot of insecurities. I have a lot of fears. Still got that in me. So I get up there, and I found out what the scripture was going to be that I was going to preach on. And by the way, they allow you to proclaim it as well as preach it, even though you're a seminarian. They let you read the word. We call it proclaiming. And so the scripture was Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 20. And it's the story of the Gadarene demoniac, where Jesus goes across the Sea of Galilee and he meets this crazy man and he frees him, and they go into the pigs, all the demons, and here's this man clothed in his right mind. So it's a long gospel, 20 verses. So I get up there and it's my turn. You know, I prepared the best I could. And I get up there in front of all these people and I say, "The Lord be with you." And they said, and also with you at the time. That's how they said it. And I looked and I said, there's my friends, and there's the canon lawyer, and there's my liturgy teacher, there's the ethicist, there's the guy that wrote the Bible right there. And, you know, they're all there and they're all looking at me, and it's too late to turn back now. So I start reading, and they teach you, you know, when you read, to look at people. That's called proclaiming. You don't look at the text, or you have to a little bit, but most of all, you just look at the people and proclaim the word to them. And it's a long gospel. It's 20 verses long about this demon-possessed man. Halfway through, unmistakably, couldn't run away from it, I noticed something. I had absolutely 100% no spit. I was so scared, I lost it all. It was gone. I still got 10 more verses to go, and I ain't got no spit.